Hey, caller, it's 97.4 The Tilt. You're talking to the Chuck Dog. Who's this?
This is Chad. Chad from Springfield.
Chad from Springfield, huh? Thanks for calling, dude. What's up?
Oh, nothing. Just sorting my socks and underwear by their age. Just one of my bi-weekly routines.
Okay, right. So, Chad, what'd you do last night, brother?
Chuck Dog, I just ate some mashed potatoes and played some daily fantasy basketball.
Daily fantasy basketball, huh? That's right up my alley. So, how'd it go, man?
Great. Great. I scored a whole bunch of points. I won 80 cents, too.
80 cents, huh? That's awesome, man. So, tell me about your players. Who'd you use?
Well, Chalk Dog, I started making my roster around Buddy Hield. I mainly did this because I feel happy when I read his name. I don't really have any friends, so I just like to imagine him being my buddy and all. So I tend to start every roster with him.
Well, that's pretty fortunate, Chad. I think Buddy scored 43 points last night. That's a good choice, even if you picked him because moving on. So who else did you have?
So I used Ricky Rubio and Dennis Schroeder, because I think foreigners are funny. And then I used Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, because, I just did because they were there. And I also used this guy, Sean Long, because I saw his name and it made me think of the word schlong.
Chad, I gotta tell you, man, this is pretty impressive so far. I mean, you haven't really given me one good reason for using any of these players, but your score must have been amazing. Who else did you have, man?
I also used this guy named Nikola Jokic, mainly because he looks like my friend Kent. And then I used this guy Bobby Portis because my middle name is Bobby, so it seemed like a good choice. And then I used this booger guy.
Booger guy? You mean Booker?
No, sir, Booger. Devin Booger.
Chad, it's Booker. His last name is Booker.
Wait, hold up. Wait. Oh, shoot, you're right, Chalk Dog. It is Booker. Damn.
No, it's fine, Chad. Hey, listen, man. Give me a second here. 3 squared, carry the 7, slope of 3, and a y-intercept of 2. Dude. You scored like 468 points, man.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? I came in first place in the match I was in, the 50-50.
Hell yeah, that's good. Wait, you say your match, like one match?
Yes, sir. I don't want to risk too much, you know.
Chad, you would have won $2,000 in a month's supply of beef jerky if you'd have entered the $1 tournament.
Well, $2 is a bit rich for my blood. This is just for fun, you know. I'm happy with my 80 cents. Besides, if I can make a lineup this good without knowing nothing, I could do it again tonight.
Sure, man. Hey, listen, stay on the line and we'll get you tickets to see Razor and the Nutsacks at the Uptown Theater.
Oh, great. Thanks, Chalk Dog. I love you.
Yeah, whatever. All right, next caller.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Josh Fernandez here, also known as Fern, for those of you in our Twitter circles and our Lineup Logic community. Call me Josh, call me Fern, call me whatever you want. I really don't care. But hey, today is Saturday, another Saturday edition of Lineup Logic. I'm glad to be here bringing you the podcast like I do every weekend. And hopefully breaking down the slate to the best of my ability and helping you win some moolah on FanDuel. I just want to start the show off by thanking everybody profusely for the amount of support that you guys have given us as we've rolled out our Patreon page. It's been amazing. I think we're pushing 40 people now who have, trusted us to provide them with valuable cheat sheets. I think they're valuable cheat sheets every single day. Me, Sean, Scott, and Ryan, Kingsguard, and Spectre, man, we work really hard. Every day we're, checking the news as often as we can, trying to edit and update and prune our cheat sheets down to a solid mix of players that we think are going to be, the players to target on the slate, on the main slate, every single day. And it's a lot of work, but we love it. And the fact that you guys are willing to, commit to us, for just $10 a month, I think it goes a long way. So that's awesome. We really appreciate that. And, we've also launched our Patreon, we have launched Patreon. We've launched our Slack community. For those of you that don't know what Slack is, it's an application, a system, a way for businesses and organizations to collaborate via the internet more efficiently and effectively. And it's got a lot of cool add-ons and features that make it really robust, like really powerful. And so we decided to put Lineup Logic on Slack and make that part of our $10 tier. So in addition to the cheat sheet, you're also getting access to the Slack community. And we've enjoyed that the last few days. A lot of the listeners and patrons are really into it. And it just allows us quicker means of communication than Twitter does, in that big hour leading up to Lineup Lock. So it's been really awesome, really cool to interact with people. So we're still going to be on Twitter every day. I mean, Twitter ain't going anywhere, guys. But, if you're willing to do $10 a month just to help us out, pay for web development costs, we're going to start building a website here soon, paying for hosting costs for the podcast, hosting a podcast is not free. And just the fact that, I have a full-time job, me, Spectre, and KG, Kingsguard, we have full-time jobs. But Sean, he's doing this thing, all day. I mean, this is his baby, and he's trying to build this up, and he's doing it for free. And now, people are willing to, throw a little money his way, our way, just to help cover the cost of building this thing. And, without being any more long-winded than I am so far, just thank you. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. It's so humbling, and it's going to drive us to work even harder to make this, as valuable and high quality as we possibly can. Baseball starting up here soon, so we're going to try our hand at that too. I mean, we all know baseball. I know baseball very well, and we're going to try to make our DFS season in baseball awesome, and football, and maybe one day golf and hockey and soccer, I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, so please consider it. Let us know if you have any questions, and let's get on with this show, shall we? So last night, wow, last night, holy crap, how many 400 spots did you guys see throughout your contest? Because I saw quite a few. I mean, the cash line in a lot of contests was like 340. That's insane. I'm just looking at some of the results from last night for different players. Down at center, I mean, you had, nothing crazy. Cat and Boogie basically scored 50. Al Horford, Miles Turner, we're right behind, excuse me, in the high 30s. And then you had Cody Zeller, Vucevic, Jan Mahinmi, Not that surprising. Dwight Howard, Clint Capella, Sean Long. I mean, you know, center wasn't that crazy. Neither was power forward. You know, Davis and Jokic, are we surprised that they scored 60 and 55 respectively? I am surprised that Jokic didn't wind up with like 70 or 80 points because he had 40 at the half. So yeah, I don't know what to make of that second half. I didn't get to watch that Denver, Indiana game. But, you know, Dario Saric, Julius Randle, Draymond, no surprise that they got over 40. Bobby Portis, same deal. You know, against the Sixers, what do you expect? You know, it's either going to be him or it's going to be, Rolo or Mirotić, and it was Portis. Scal Labissiere, he balled, you know, as in that Golden State game, 34 points. You know, and then Kevin Love, Marvin Williams, and Gorgui Dieng, they put in solid efforts as well. point guard, same deal. Nothing that surprising. Shooting guard, wow, things change. You got Harden and Giannis, who at 74 and 66, like, we're not that surprised. Buddy Hield, 43. That was an amazing effort there. Too bad I didn't stack Hield and Scal in that blowout. Timmy Hardaway, Nick Batum, Gerald Henderson, like the returns start kind of trickling down and they're not that great. Bradley Beal was a huge letdown, but what do you expect? They blew out the Nets. But Devin Booker, my God. Oh my God. Devin Booker, 91.6 FanDuel points. 70 actual points. Unbelievable. That was his game of his career. I mean, he's a baby. I think he's, what, like 21 or 22? He's never doing that again. I mean, the variance there of that happening is just unheard of. He went crazy. Absolutely nuts. So, Devin Booker, if you had three Devin Bookers of last night's caliber, that probably, just those three, would cash you in 50-50s most nights. 91.6 times three, what's that, 274.8? Oh my gosh. Devin Booker, wow. Congratulations to those of you that used him. And then, you know, small forward, Jimmy and LeBron, no surprise that they got over 60. I mean, Jimmy maybe a little bit that he got that high, but, you know, 66.9, that's amazing. Then a bunch of other guys did well as well. I mean, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was a nice surprise at 32.4, but he's been cleaning the glass for the Nets lately and getting a lot of run. And Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler returning and putting up great efforts, 42 and 34 respectively. And there's a few others that were interesting. But listen, you know, without going any further into last night's results, you may be wondering what the deal was with the intro to the show. And I think it should be clear if you are kind of putting the pieces together with what I'm doing here. Look, last night was a night when anybody could have won money. I'm not taking one thing away from any of you who are solid, everyday, you know, grinders, and know your stuff and put a lot of logic behind your picks. But man, like, even Chad's, like, our caller in the show with the Buddy Hield pick because he doesn't have any friends, and Devin Booger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, sometimes you could just go through and go bang, 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 pick a bunch of guys, and look, lo and behold, you score 400 points. I mean, maybe once every couple months it happens where there's a night when some players just go off that are in the mid-range salary, and then all the studs go off as well. So, you know, Congratulations if you won some big cash last night. That's outstanding. Let us know on Twitter. We'd love to, you know, retweet and share with people your victory. But I think this is just a lesson. Don't get too high on yourself, because days like this can humble you pretty quickly when you drop 400 points, you know, and there's a lot of luck involved. And the very next night, you fall out of the cash line in your 50-50s and walk home with a goose egg. If you won some big money last night, don't change how you manage your bankroll. If you normally bet, you know, 5% of your bankroll, you know, keep betting 5% of your bankroll. If your bankroll is $100 and you bet $5 a night, all of a sudden you win $1,000, you know, stick to 5%, you know, bet 50. Don't go all cuckoo and get all excited because you just want some money. You know, take it slow. You're here for the long run, all right? So let's move on. Tonight's slate, I'm kind of excited about it. I love these four-game slates. I love four-game slates. Well, and let me preface this by saying that it is a five-game slate if you're playing the early slate. You have the Jazz at Clippers at 3:30 Eastern time. You know, and by the time you're listening to this podcast, that will probably have already started. But we don't play the early slate. And if we do, it's very, very light. I mean, a tiny little wager just for fun. But, you know, our podcast, our cheat sheet, our focus is not on alternative slates. It's on the main slate. So Jazz at Clippers, you know, if you play that, obviously, you know, there's a few guys in there that are intriguing. You know, Rudy Gobert is definitely interesting. You know, you can beat the Clippers at the center position, as well as Gordon Hayward. Wings do quite well against the Clippers. And then, you know, on the Jazz side of things, I mean, they're a pretty stingy defense. But, you know, they've been beaten by Wings from time to time. So it's possible, you know, that an athletic four in Blake Griffin could have a nice outing against them. It's also possible that Chris Paul, just being a great player, can, you know, rack up some stats and put back a good line. But, you know, I'm kind of glad that this one is on the early slate, because the other four games, I think, are simple to dissect, which is what we shall do now. So let's start with Washington at Cleveland. Washington at Cleveland, currently the over-under sitting at 214.5 with a three-point spread. The Wizards are actually favored in this one. They're road favorites. So to me, that is implying that LeBron is probably going to sit, and for reasons that I'll get to in a minute. But let me just kind of give you some context behind the game here. You know, both teams are on the second leg of a back-to-back. Both traveled between last night and tonight's game. You know, Cleveland had to travel home from Charlotte, and the Wizards had to travel from Washington to Cleveland. So both are on back-to-backs, and they both traveled. So even though Cleveland is at home, they did have to travel, for what it's worth. Washington is playing its third game in four nights, and though they do get to rest tomorrow and Monday, not playing again until Tuesday, you know, they might be a little fatigued. I don't know, like, they didn't have to exert their starters that much last night as they kind of wiped the floor with the Nets, although at times the Nets did look competent. But yeah. You know, the Wizards don't have to play again until Tuesday. They kick off a West Coast road trip starting at the Lakers. But, you know, keep in mind that they have played three out of four nights. And Cleveland has also played three out of four nights. This will be their third game in four nights. But unlike the Wizards, after resting tomorrow, they have a quicker turnaround. And they head to San Antonio on Monday. Which obviously is a matchup of titans, as you have San Antonio, who's jockeying for a position with Golden State to have home court advantage all throughout the playoffs as the number one seed in the West. And then you have Cleveland, who's fending off Boston and, to a lesser degree, Washington and Toronto at the top of the East. You know, like I said, Washington was able to rest its starters for much of last night's game with Brooklyn, while Cleveland, they didn't get that luxury facing Charlotte. All their starters played their typical allotment of minutes. So the odds are high that neither team rests anyone. This is obviously a big game standings-wise, and Cleveland knows they do have a few winnable games on the horizon, excluding San Antonio. Washington can't afford to give away any losses if they want to catch Boston and, of course, Cleveland. So both teams, you know, it benefits them to exert themselves in this one. So I don't foresee any rest taking place. But as far as injuries go, there is one of note, of heavy, serious, slate-changing note, and that's LeBron James. Now, LeBron, he suffered a scratched cornea last night as they beat the Hornets, and he noticeably couldn't keep his eye open during the post-game interview. He noted his vision was blurry, and he was uncomfortable. The injury occurred after he got poked in the eye as he was driving to the basket in the third quarter, and he came back into the game. But, you know, like I said, like, he was not feeling good after the game. He couldn't really see well. So right now, his status is up in the air. And he said that he would not be sitting out due to rest, but rather because he's, quote, banged up. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like being banged up is in reference to your eye. Like, he could be banged up because he is banged up. I mean, he's playing serious minutes, you know, upwards of 35 minutes. And like I said, you know, this is the third game in their last four nights. So he is gassed, most likely. I mean, he's got to be, you know. And he knows that he's got San Antonio coming up. And he knows that he's got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving as well. So there's no reason that the Cavs can't beat the Wizards without LeBron. That is entirely possible. So I am definitely keeping my eyes peeled. Not that it's going to be that hard to miss the news, but I am definitely, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm definitely hoping that LeBron sits this one out, because this really opens up a lot on this slate and changes things and makes it a lot easier to dissect. So if he does sit, we should look for Richard Jefferson and Amon Shumpert to see increased roles covering the small forward responsibilities. You know, as we know by now, the players to target, however, are Kyrie and Love. Assuming Love is ready to stay over the 30-minute mark, which I think he is by now. Like, this will be, I think, his fifth game back. You know, I think this is, if LeBron sits, the time for him to really, you know, churn up the minutes. So, you know, we'll see. moving over to the next game, Toronto at Dallas. Vegas says it's a 194 over under, which is somewhat low. But the spread, okay, it opened with Toronto as a 1-point favorite, but currently Dallas is a 1-point favorite. So it's swung in favor of Dallas. To me, that's kind of a push. You know, and I love this game, you know, as a sneaky game. For several reasons. I mean, number one, it's that Vegas situation. You know, you gotta love the tight spread, and you gotta love for GPPs at least, you know, that the 194 over under is gonna push people away. They're not gonna be enthused to roster players from that game. But if it goes to overtime, which it definitely could, given the implications of that spread, you know, that changes everything. Toronto should be well rested, and they're definitely going to be providing full effort in this game as they were off yesterday. And they're not going to be playing tomorrow. Though those travel days were strange, as they kind of like, they had a weird travel schedule. They flew from Florida, after they played the Heat. Then they got to Texas for this game against Dallas, and then they're going to fly back to Florida to play Orlando on Monday. It's kind of weird. I don't think that really impacts their, you know, them as far as, like, fatigue goes, travel fatigue. I mean, for God's sakes, they're traveling on, like, private, you know, private airlines. It's not like they're traveling, you know, coach on, like, a JetBlue. But, you know, they're definitely going to be well-rested. And they want to win this game. They definitely want to win this game. You know, they're jockeying for position with the Wizards. They are neck and neck with the Wizards, and they have a serious opportunity to get up to that two seed, barring a Celtics kind of slump, you know, with, what, 10, 11, 12 games left. And Dallas is in the same boat as far as having off days bookending this match. However, they were at home on Thursday, and so they're going to be, of course, at home tonight, but they're going to be at home taking on Oklahoma City on Monday. So they've had a nice homestand, and that means a lot, you know, when you get to sleep in your own bed. So you got to think that the Mavs players are feeling fresh and rested on this homestand. So all that considered, I doubt we see any minimization of minutes for key players on either side. I mean, maybe there's a little back and forth between Tucker and Carroll for the three, you know, the small forward spot. Tucker kind of seems like he's pulling away with the lion's share of minutes. Plus, you know, he can relieve Ibaka at the four, or even they could bump Ibaka up to the five if they want to, and bump Tucker up to the four and Carroll at the three. But my point being is, like, Tucker seems like he's got 30 plus minutes reserved for him here going forward. You know, but otherwise, I think we should see the primary starters on both teams go full tilt and do so efficiently due to their apparent freshness, their rested states. So no injuries to note on either side, other than, of course, Kyle Lowry's continued absence. Wonder when he's going to be back soon, sometime this month. Maybe, you know, they're not going to really push it. But yeah, Toronto and Dallas, interesting game, kind of interesting game. Knicks at Spurs. Okay. So Knicks at Spurs. It's a 205 over under, and the Spurs are favored by 15. Yeah. So here's the deal. The Spurs are going to be playing the Cavs and Warriors next. If you're like me, and you think, you know, the most simple solution to some of these problems, such as, you know, do I use San Antonio stars or not? You know, obviously you like the matchup with the Knicks, but who are you thinking is a better play for your, say, $9,000 whatever dollars? I can't remember exactly what Kawhi's price is. Kawhi? Or one of the three elite point guards, or Kawhi and Karl-Anthony Towns, who I'll get to in a minute. You know, considering their matchups, I think that those three elite point guards, Kat, or, you know, even getting DeMar DeRozan in there in that tight matchup are just way more attractive, you know? Kawhi, I don't see why Popovich would even bother playing him in this game. I mean, this seems like a guaranteed win almost. So let's just kind of dive into this one, because this is an interesting one. So just like the teams in the previous two games, both these teams are bookended by off days. New York is concluding a road trip before returning home for a pair of games that kick off Monday. And then San Antonio is in the midst of a four-game homestand, one that sees their next two opponents, like I said, in Cleveland and Golden State on Monday and Wednesday, respectively. So let's just do the math. They're facing a tanking Knicks team, upcoming home games against top-seeded teams in each conference. I'd be shocked if Pop doesn't rest everyone. You know, if news doesn't break early, you might just want to fade this game altogether. That said, I do like Kristaps as a really attractive play at power forward slash center, you know, if you're playing DraftKings. I think that this solidifies him. The fact that the Knicks themselves could be resting players and the Spurs could be resting players, I think this solidifies Kristaps, you know, as a stone cold lock for me, just because he's going to get a huge usage bump, a lot of minutes, and a lesser DVP situation, lesser opponent if they rest their starters on San Antonio. So yeah, same deal with guys like Derrick Rose and Carmelo. If we don't hear anything early enough, like before lock at 7:30, you know, if you don't hear anything about San Antonio, fade them all. If you don't hear anything about Rose and Melo, just fade everyone in this game except for Porzingis. I mean, like I said, he should get 35 plus minutes, reasonable salary, 6,700. Now, if it does come out early that the Knicks players are going to be out, and Lance Thomas already is, in GPPs, there's a whole bunch of lotto tickets in Randall, in Baker, Holiday, Kuzminskas. In cash, I'd start with Porzingis, but O'Quinn, who FanDuel did move to power forward, and Hernan Gomez, they're interesting. But Porzingis, again, he's my preferred play if I do use anyone here. As for the Spurs, let's just hope that Pop benches the whole team and we get to use San Antonio cheapies. Because that would be fantastic, and not just GPP viable, but maybe even cash viable too. I mean, we love using Patty Mills when Parker sits, and if Ginobili does too, that's especially great. But if Kawhi sits, you know, you get a pick of a few guys. I would be very selective who you pick among Anderson, Simmons, and Bertans. It's possible that they might divvy up the minutes among them. But this would be a great, great game for Pop to let Anderson get loose for like 35 minutes. You know, he's a young guy. They know what they've got in Anderson. They know what they've got in Bertans and Simmons. They know what they got in Simmons. They know what they have in Bertans. Anderson, they really would benefit. And he would benefit from getting like nice run against a really weak opponent and just, you know, just getting a ball out, you know. And if LaMarcus Aldridge is out, obviously we got David Lee. But then again, Davis Bertans could start, and he's a non-factor. Maybe, I don't know, the Knicks are pretty terrible, but careful with David Lee. And of course, Powell and Dedmon, you know, we know Dedmon is starter and name only. Powell is one of the top guys in the second unit, if not the top guy. But if Powell is out, we feel great about Dedmon against that weak Knicks front court. Look, I don't think the whole squad is going to be scratched. After all, you know, the Spurs do have to win this game. They don't want to get too cute and lose. I mean, they are not infallible. You know, they can be beaten, right? It's happened before at home. Just be very, very careful how you use it. Whoever thinks critically, this is what I think, whoever thinks critically the best as to how this one should shake out should be at the top of GPPs. Someone is going to crack the code to this game. Yes, it's obvious that Kristaps Porzingis is a great play, but someone's going to crack the code and they're going to pick the right guys. And if I were to pick one who really interests me, it is definitely Anderson. You know, he just seems, Kyle Anderson, like an interesting 30 plus point, you know, 10x kind of guy. Okay. And then last on the slate here, we got the Wolves at Blazers. Vegas is saying that this game is a 213.5 over under with a 6.5 point spread in favor of Portland. You know, both teams are on the outside looking in for the playoffs picture in the West, but it is a huge game. Portland currently sits 1.5 games behind Denver for the 8th seed, and Minnesota, they're 5 back from Portland and 6.5 from the 8th seed. Okay, is Minnesota going to reach the playoffs? It would be magical. It would be pure magic. I mean, they have, including tonight, 11 games to go, so it's possible technically, but basically if they lose two, I mean, maybe one more game, they're done. It doesn't help that they lost five straight, but again, technically they're still in it. That said, the odds are against them. So at the least, they can play spoiler to an interconference opponent in the Portland Trailblazers and give them the old, if we can't have nice things and neither can you treatment. So I do think Minnesota is going to be up for this game, even with it being a road back-to-back. Portland, on the other hand, of course, is in must-win mode. They must win. They have 11 games to go as well, and things don't get any easier on this home stretch. You know, they got 11 games left, and they are not a great team. I mean, they're a solid team. Getting Nurkic was huge. Dame is obviously an elite player. You know, they got a few nice pieces as well as CJ McCollum. But, you know, this is a game that they have to win. They have to win this game. Now, unlike Minnesota, Portland is playing on one day of home rest before traveling to LA tomorrow to face the hungry young Lakers who just beat Minnesota last night. That game is not a surefire win for the Blazers. So I think this is going to be a late hammer game. It's going to be a big one. I love this game, especially I love the stars in it. I think Dame is a lock for 35% to 40% usage in this one, and Nurk should have no trouble with Gorgie Dieng. On the other hand, Wiggins and Kat each draw Evan Turner and Noah Vonleh respectively, so no worries there. Rubio, of course, will get a ton of run. CJ McCollum will get a ton of run. And I like that he's now under 7K. It's kind of interesting. And someone else should step up as well, maybe Alan Crabb or Chris Dunn or Al-Farouq Aminu. But I think this game is a stud-focused affair that you should not think too hard on. Just start as many of these studs in this game as you can. Okay? So those are our four games. Let's break down who I like at each position. I'm just going to start with point guards and run through all three tiers, studs, grout, and value. The studs, this is as hard of a decision as there is on this slate. You can make a legitimate argument for all three of Dame, Wall, and Kyrie. Dame, obviously, because the Blazers are in must-win mode and he's putting the team on his back, and he's just been putting up 50-plus, like, a lot. You know, he is on fire, and he's getting a ton of usage, ton of minutes, you know, and his team needs him. And then Wall, because he gets a weak Kyrie Irving defense, and it's a huge game against a rival, and the Wizards want to win. They don't have to win. I mean, you know, they're not like a Portland situation, but they want to win. They want to beat Cleveland, you know? If the Wizards are as good as they have been playing, you know, that might be their opponent later in the playoffs. And, yeah, I think the Wizards are going to be, you know, coming for blood tonight. And then Kyrie, because he's Kyrie, and of course if LeBron sits, his usage skyrockets. So I'm going to be honest. I would just throw a dart here. All of them are amazing. Maybe just make three identical lineups with 9,600 left over, because that's how much Dame is. He's the most expensive of the three. And put one with Dame, one with Wall, and one with Kyrie. I don't know. Honestly, I love each of them. Maybe things will shake out a little bit later. If LeBron plays, I like Kyrie less. You know, Wall has more competition for scoring with Beal than Dame does with anybody else, I guess. You know, like, so I don't know. It's a tough call. As far as grout, the only grout play here is Ricky Rubio. He's at 7,400. He's in a nice matchup, as mentioned before. I don't love him, but I like him. Like I do in every slate, I like Ricky Rubio, you know, in every slate. But I probably won't be using him since I can find a little bit of value down low, excluding Derrick Rose, who might be out. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be playing very inspired against the Spurs on the road. There is a gap of $2,600 between Ricky and the next point guard in Corey Joseph. Someone who I do actually feel great about tonight. I feel like you either run two studs, like two of Kyrie, Dame, and Wall, or one and a cheapie. And that's in GPP and cash. Again, I like Ricky. Just as far as this slate goes, I don't think he's going to find his way on my roster. Now, if John Wall, or excuse me, if LeBron James plays, then we might be considering Ricky a little bit. But again, like, I just don't see him finding his way onto my team. And as far as value goes, okay, so there's Corey Joseph and everyone else. I mean, he's basically as safe as it gets for sub 5K players on the whole slate. And to me, he's a cash lock. I love Corey Joseph tonight. He could easily get 5X. I mean, he should easily get 5X. I mean, at 4,800 bucks, it's just 24 points. And he's scored 22 or more FanDuel points in 7 of his last 10 games. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be locking him in with a stud and moving along. However, if things open up with news, you might consider another value play in GPP. You know, obviously, Patty Mills is possible if he's the only guard, you know, only viable guard that the Spurs are rolling out there. You know, maybe you try to jump on Brandon Jennings again, but I doubt that he's going to be leaned on tonight. You know, you can go full on contrarian mode and roster, you know, one of the Dallas point guards, but that's, I don't think, a very plus EV move. Chason Randle, you know, Ron Baker, nah. I think it's Kojo, no doubt, and then a stud. Anyways, let's go on to shooting guard. Let's just talk DeRozan, Beal, and McCollum all at once, shall we? DeMar's 9,200. He's in a must-win game against Dallas. He is rested. He's getting hot. I mean, he's putting the team on his back, a la Damian Lillard. Toronto can't afford to lose any games if they want to pass Washington or catch Boston. Well, guess what? Tonight they could pass Washington in the standings if the Cavs win and Toronto beats Dallas. So if they want to win, they're going to have to give the ball to DeMar and let him roll. So I love DeMar DeRozan tonight. And that's why I said, you know, even if Kawhi plays or LeBron plays, I like DeRozan better just contextually, given his role on the team and their must-win situation. As for Beal, he's going to be very much needed in their matchup with the Cavs. He's the Wizards' primary scorer most nights, and he could really be heavily used in both minutes and field goal attempts. I just don't see a reason he's not going to play almost 40 minutes tonight. As many of us know, he faced Cleveland about 2 months ago, and he put up 41 actual points in 45 minutes for 59 FanDuel points. Are we looking for that again? No, but 45 is not remotely out of the question. Which, I was just thinking, like, how funny it is that I would love for Beal to score 45 FanDuel points, and that's that's half of what Devin Booker scored last night. Oh my god, Devin Booker. What was that? Okay. As for CJ McCollum, I'm not too big on him tonight. Sure, Portland needs to win, but he's not, in my mind, going to be looked upon as heavily as Beal and DeRozan will be to help their teams win. I mean, CJ's behind Dame in the pecking order, and, you know, Nurk is no slouch. I mean, he is getting some nice usage, too. So to me, it's Nurk versus CJ as to who will need to be Robin to Dame's Batman, and I like Nurk in this particular game. Therefore, I'm looking at shooting guard being an easy answer tonight. Lock in DeRozan and lock in Bradley Beal. Are you trying to look down low at other options? You know, perhaps. You know, it's possible that you look down at guys like Seth Curry, Wes Matthews, you know, maybe even a few of the cheapies, you know, below 4K. I mean, Courtney Lee's potentially viable if the Knicks sit Melo because, you know, Lance Thomas is out as well. You know, but I think that you got to pay up tonight at shooting guard. I see DeRozan and Beal just being, you know, super heavily used tonight. I think that's the way to go. As for small forward, you know, I'm praying, like I said before, that LeBron and Kawhi both sit. Praying. If they do, this slate gets so much easier. If they don't and they both play, it's obvious you use LeBron in his game versus the Wizards than you do Kawhi taking on New York when he has Golden State and Cleveland on cue. Honestly, I don't see either player as an attractive option. I mean, let's be honest here. LeBron just had an eye injury. He says that he's banged up. You know, his words, not mine. Cleveland has the weapons to take on Washington without LeBron, and Kawhi doesn't need to play for the Spurs to beat the Knicks. So why risk it, you know, when they're taking each other on in their next game? But Grout plays, I like Wiggins a lot. But, you know, like, I prefer other plays more that are higher in salary that prohibit me from using Wiggins. And there are some bargain guys here that I really, really like. So I don't see him fitting in my lineup, especially if LeBron is out. Like, if LeBron is in, maybe I look for Wiggins. But if LeBron's out, that really just changes a lot. And if Kawhi's out, dang, man, like, that changes everything. You know, he's a wild card to me, though, because I feel like if I can fit him in, you know, and I can get some preferred plays at power forward and center too, I might do it. Because like I said, like, this is a big game for both teams, you know, for Portland and Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota is like, it's win or die, you know, and, you know, Portland, it's win, you know, I mean, it's not win or die quite yet, but they got to win, you know? So, you know, it's kind of like a domino effect thing here. There's a lot riding on the news tonight. Okay. And if the news breaks that LeBron and Kawhi are out, I think Wiggins is a no-go because I'll just have to get that Simmons and Jefferson value. It seems very appealing to me, as well as the usage bumps for power forward, for Love, and the DVP help for Kristaps. I don't know. I don't see Wiggy being used by me tonight. Given how things are possibly going to shake out. And it's too bad, because I really do like him in this spot. But as for Otto Porter, Harrison Barnes, you know, they're interesting, but they don't have the value upside I think sub-4K guys have at small forward on this slate. I think their ceilings are like 30 to 35, which it's fine. That's about 5.7x. But that's ceiling. You know, I think they're going to be in like the mid to high 20s in their FanDuel points. So I think the play is to pay down at small forward. And that brings me to this ultimate situation for tonight's slate. And that's cheap small forward. Okay? That is the ultimate situation. It's which stud point guard to pick and cheap small forward. And here they are. You got Mo Harkless, PJ Tucker, Evan Turner, Damari Carroll, Mindaugas Kuzminskas, Bojan Bogdanovic, John Simmons, Kyle Anderson, Richard Jefferson. All right, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players, and I think with 99% certainty that two of them will be on winning GPP lines all over the FanDuel contests tonight. There is a lot riding on this news, all right? And right now, I think the only ones we know anything about are Turner, Harkless, and Bogdanovic, maybe Tucker and Carroll. It looks like Tucker is taking over the lion's share of minutes between the two, between him and Carroll. He might be safer than Damari Carroll. He's a solid, safe play. As for Harkless, Bogdanovic, and Turner, we at least know their roles. Bojan should get 20 to 25 minutes, maybe a few more tonight if the game ends up being like a shootout, high scoring. They need his adept shooting ability and free throw shooting. He's one of the best free throw shooters in the league, as well as good at getting to the line. And Turner and Hark, they should split time, maybe each seeing about 20 minutes, give or take, because Crab and Amino can impact their run as well. So that leaves us with Kuzminskas, Simmons, Anderson, and Jefferson. I like Kuzminskas. only if Melo's out. Thomas already is out, and I see no reason for Melo to play. So Kuzminskas could be a nice GPP play if he can get over 30 minutes, which, you know, if Melo is out, then he should. The Spurs gain nothing playing Simmons. At this point in his career, like, he is what he is. He's a veteran wing reserve, you know, 28 years old. So this game, like I said before, it's just a perfect situation to give Kyle Anderson a big allotment of minutes and just let him roll. But he's only viable in cash if Kawhi is out. If Kawhi is in, that doesn't mean that Kyle Anderson, you throw him away. He could still, you know, I mean, it's possible that Kawhi could start, you know, play 18, 22 minutes, and then Anderson can get, like, run the rest of the way. I mean, Anderson can also play with Kawhi if they decide to rest Danny Green a bit. It's possible. You know, so until we find out Anderson's only GPP viable and with a tiny share, like maybe 10% if he run a bunch of lines. But if Kawhi's out, oh man, give me all the Kyle Anderson. As for, and I want to say, give me all the Kyle Anderson, but it's risky, you know, because for all we know, Pop could go give almost 30 years old, you know, Jonathan Simmons run, which I don't understand why he would do that, because he knows what he has in Simmons. He's not like a developmental young player like Kyle Anderson. As for Richard Jefferson, he's the safest of this this Min-Sal foursome since he's already part of the rotation, and if LeBron's out, he should get a lot of run. However, his upside's capped now because Kevin Love is back, so I'd say he's cash viable, nice decent floor, but less GPP viable than Anderson if Kawhi is out. So yeah, there's a lot of unknowns right now, but if you were a $10 per month patron of Lineup Logic, you'd get our daily cheat sheet and be a part of our Slack community, so you'd have your finger on the pulse of things at all times. Shameless plug. Yeah, so maybe you want to do that. I don't know. It's possible. But yeah, you know, just keep your eyes peeled for the news. Don't sleep on the news, because if it hits at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time and you're not, you know, and you're not, you don't have contingency plans for the news, it's going to catch you and you're not going to have enough time to really think it through. Anyways, I'll personally be using Jefferson and Anderson if news breaks that LeBron and Kawhi are both out. If not, we'll see. Maybe Tucker and Boyan? I don't know. We'll see. Power forward, I think we want to gamble on Kevin Love tonight if LeBron's out. I like Love a lot in that case. His usage pops when LeBron is out, and that should be the case tonight against the Wizards. If LeBron is in, like, I like him a bit less. But I don't know. Like, I think Kevin Love could be a GPP winner. Like, I just feel like it's time for him to get over 30 minutes, and he can put up, you know, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. You know, he can easily put up over 40 points in 30, 32 minutes. You know, he could put up 50 points in 32 minutes as well. You know, he's got that rebounding and scoring ability. I'm kind of weary about LaMarcus Aldridge for obvious reasons. That said, you know, he is doing really well lately. He's getting a lot of usage, 30% usage and up as of late. I love Kristaps. You know, the Knicks are just going to get him a lot of run. They're tanking. You may as well get the young boys some run. As far as other options at power forward go, I mean, obviously Dirk is intriguing because this is a big game and they're at home and they're rested. So, you know, if you need to pay down, Dirk is definitely viable, as is Serge, you know, in a big game. Markieff Morris is too risky. I wouldn't touch him. Just not worth the risk. The last time the Wizards played Cleveland, he only was able to put up 25 FanDuel points in 30 minutes. And lately, you know, he's seeing his minutes and his usage and production just kind of like cap. And I am not really, I'm not really too big on Keith at all for the rest of the season. Gorgui Dieng is interesting to me. I like him. And then, you know, you can maybe take a little risk with like Kyle O'Quinn or Noah Vonleh. You know, it's possible. But in my, for my money, like I'm looking at Kevin Love and Chris Stapps. You know, I'm not going to get too cute and play games here. But if I need to pay down, it's Dirk and Serge. They're kind of neck and neck to me. Moving on to center, just so we can wrap this baby up. At center, you obviously have Karl-Anthony Towns at the top of the food chain. You know, he's got a Portland team that is definitely beatable by bigs. So, you know, he's pretty much a lock for 50 points. So if you could fit him in, no reason not to. Yusuf Nurkic is really attractive to me at 6,700 at home in a must-win game. So I feel great about him. And then if you want to go down a bit, you know, you got a few interesting guys down there. I mean, Tristan Thompson and Gortat, you know, will be buttonheads. You know, Jonas Valanciunas, I don't think is going to be viable because Dallas, you know, runs Dirk at the five. And Jonas is typically more viable against centers that have his skill set. You know, it's possible that Guillermo Hernan Gomez might be a viable play, assuming assuming that Melo sits and he gets more run. That said, the Spurs do limit the production of centers, so keep that in mind. All right, so there's your slate breakdown. Let's go ahead and build up a line. So here's what I'm thinking, okay? I'm thinking that my locks, I have three locks right now, and that's Corey Joseph, DeMar DeRozan, and Bradley Beal. They're locked in for me. Every single line I'm making, I'm going to use those three. And then after that, let me see here. You know, like Kyle Anderson, you know what we'll do? Let's pretend that LeBron and Kawhi are out. If LeBron and Kawhi are out, then I'm plugging in Kyle Anderson and Richard Jefferson. So that leaves me needing to fill my power forwards, my center, and my point guard one. Let's go ahead and fill in Yusuf Nurkic at center. And then we'll throw Kevin Love and Porzingis at our power forward spots. So that leaves us with 10K, okay? We can plug in any of our three stud point guards. Now, here's the interesting thing. We can get off of Richard Jefferson if we think that Kyrie and Love will dominate the usage. And we have 3,900. And that allows us, that's with Damian Lillard at point guard. And that allows us to choose among Boyan, Hark, Kyle Anderson, Simmons, Jefferson. Now, if we bump down from Lillard to Kyrie, then that allows us to pick from 4,400, which allows us to get PJ Tucker in there. So that's the line I'm going to make right now, and I'm going to read it back to you. It's Kyrie Irving and Corey Joseph at point guard, DeMar DeRozan and Bradley Beal at shooting guard, PJ Tucker and Kyle Anderson at small forward, Kevin Love and Kristaps Porzingis at power forward, and Yusuf Nurkic at center. Okay, everybody, that's our show. I just want to first, really quickly, apologize for the audio quality. I didn't realize until like halfway through that I was recording with my mic not plugged in. Normally, I have my crystal clear microphone, and I'm not going to go back and record an hour show again. Got to go help the wife with the kiddos. Things are getting a little cuckoo out there in the living room, I'll tell you that much. So that's it for the show. Next time, you'll hear better audio quality. My sincerest apologies. As always, you could find me at Josh Fern on Twitter. You can find Sean, you know, at Hey Mr. Kane on Twitter. You could find Scott at DFS Kingsguard, and you can find Ryan at DFS Spectre. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/lineuplogic, and consider $10 a month joining our Patreon group, where you can get benefits like the daily cheat sheet and the Slack room with others on the way. Okay, everyone, that's it. Have a great day. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you throughout the day. See you.